Hey, remember that last video we did? Read More and Learn Faster? It's doing pretty well. So I thought I'd follow it up with some books that I want to recommend to you guys. Hi, James from Ingvid. I have three books that I want to recommend to you. In the last video that I did, I said why you should read, how it helps with speaking, listening, writing, and of course, reading. In this video, what I want to do is show you how you can not just use what I said, but use books in a system to help you learn better. I picked these three books, and I'm showing you a way that you can use them, work with them, in order to improve your learning. Yeah? So let's go to the board. I'm going to read some quotes and some passages from the books, right? Tell you about the authors, and then tell you about the approach that they have. And how we can, at the end of this, take these different approaches to make a system for learning, sort of like you have your own school curriculum. And by curriculum, I mean way that we're going to learn, what you will learn, and how you will use it to get a result. And the result in this case is learning how to learn. Okay, if you're ready, let's go to the board. Oh, I can't wait. All right, so you'll notice I have what's called a Venn diagram. A Venn diagram is intersecting circles, and what they say is so here, here, and here, where they all come together, the intersection is where the final result will be, what they all have in common. In this case, it's ease reads. So E picked these first three books for you. Thinks he's got something for you. So let's start with the first one. The first book is Jonathan Livingston Seagull. This book, it's been out for a while. It came out in the 1960s. It was written in the 1960s, published in 1970 by this gentleman, Richard Bach. Okay. It's a book that asks you and says, you need to see a bigger vision of yourself. What he says is that we don't see who our true selves are, and we have a little vision and we stay small. But if we can expand that vision to see who we truly are, we are capable of the most incredible things. Okay. This is your why. And he said, you need a big enough why to get you off of your chair, off of your couch, out of your house to do something, to change. Yeah? So this was done in written in the 1960s, published in 1970. It's about freedom, right? It's about self-discovery, pushing your boundaries, and it's to become the greatest version of yourself. So whatever you see in the mirror, imagine if you could be that superhero or that super athlete. Right? You could be, I don't know, I don't watch soccer really. So I'm not going to make up any names. I remember Pele. So you could be Pele. Oh, I'm dating myself. Okay. Anyway, he also says that you can be a rebel with a cause. And you want to say, what does that mean, a rebel with a cause? Well, as he's saying, you could become the best version of yourself. To rebel or be a rebel, which is the noun, rebel is to go against. You will go against what society is saying you should be. And you need to be an outcast. That means someone outside in order to have the freedom to develop yourself. Because in society, we play small and we don't get to see how great we can be. Okay? So in this book, he doesn't use humans, he uses seagulls. And what's brilliant is half of the book is pictures of seagulls. Seriously. But it's really cool because the pictures do have meaning. One of my favorite persons, well, actually my sister who read the book, one of her favorite people in the book is called Fletcher. You will love these seagulls like they're humans. They will be talking about the flock and you'll get lost in all of it and find yourself rooting for Jonathan and all of his students, just like you're going to end up rooting for yourself. Now, there's a couple of quotes I'd like to read from here to you to give you an idea of the book. Okay. So, for example, when asked, what is perfection? Now, this isn't a religious thing, but just because I'm going to use the word heaven, and some of you might go, oh, he's talking about religion. Not at all. In this case, we're talking about heaven as being a place of perfection. Okay. So, Jonathan is talking to the leader, Chang. Okay. And he's the great elder seagull who has all the knowledge and has done everything. And Jonathan says to him, I really like speed and I want to be fast. And Jonathan also asks, is this heaven because we're doing all this stuff and it's wonderful? And Chang says, "You will begin to touch heaven, Jonathan, in the moment that you touch perfect speed. And that isn't flying 1,000 miles an hour or 1,000,000 or flying at the speed of light, because any number is a limit. Perfection doesn't have limits. Perfect speed, my son, is just being there." And that's what he's talking about. Perfection is in the moment. Being yourself in the moment, being free to be yourself. And if you're wondering how this, as I mentioned, if you looked here, 3M way to learn faster, it's because I'm talking about motivation. Intrinsic motivation, in means inside. This book talks about motivating yourself by the things that you love, that you want to perfect. Not that you will be perfect, but in working on perfection, you will be able to enjoy the moment, do your best, and transform yourself. This is important when it comes to learning, because you cannot be a better learner if you're the same person as you were yesterday. Let me repeat that. If you're the same person as you are yesterday, you cannot become a better learner. In fact, the process of learning transforms us or changes us, that we become something different at each time. That's the whole point of learning, right? Because if you're not actually getting better, what's the point of learning stuff? So the motivation here is to become the best at something you love. It will transform you. The work will transform you. And that's what this book is about. And it says, it has to be bigger than you. This is your why. And your why can be anything. It could be love of family. It could be love of sport. It could be love of reading, right? That's what this video is about. If you love reading, this is great for you, because each book transforms you, or takes you to a different world and transforms you in doing so. You have to think differently to understand. And in thinking differently, it changes your brain, literally. All right. So that's the first book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Great book. Came from, as I said, written in the 1960s by Richard Bach. And this is your vision. So you read this book and it'll make you laugh. It won't make you cry, but it'll make you open your eyes to what is possible for you. Okay. And that's the greatest version of you. Just before I move on, I want to give you another quote from this book that I love. Fletcher still blinked from the change of scene. What did you just do? How did we get here? You did say you wanted to be out of the mob, didn't you? Said Jonathan. Yes, but how did you? Like everything else, Fletcher, practice. Okay. Now that's going to lead me to the next book we're going to talk about. But before you do that, or before I do that, I want to give you a quote about vision and why it's so important. And it's going to be a quote from Helen Keller. And the quote she said, she was blind. So this is why this is very important. I'm going to say poignant or important, right? With a point. She said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." She's playing with words here, saying she is blind, and that is not good. I don't think anyone of us would say, "I want to be blind." But she said, something worse than being blind is a person who can actually see, but they have no vision. They cannot see anything bigger than themselves. And that is what this book is asking you to do. Have a vision that's bigger than yourself. If it's not just the best version of yourself, it could be a better world, right? Something, you know, more education for people, right? Drinking water across the world, whatever, your vision, but something bigger than yourself to give you motivation or a reason to change and to learn. All right, so I talked about practice, and that was the last quote from this book. Lovely book, by the by. So practice is what Jonathan said. You must do something. Well, in Asia, and actually, you know, in North America, we say practice is something you go to do regularly to improve. Baseball practice, soccer practice, right? And in Asia, they talk about a practice can be martial arts practice, karate, or yoga. It's a practice. It's a way of living. That's a way of being. So as this one was the why you should do something, my next book is called Kaizen, right? The Kaizen Way. The full title is called One Small Step Can Change Your Life. And this is the how, right? How will we do this? because in this book, it talks about why you should do it, but they don't really go into how you can make that change to become a better person. And in this case, we're talking about learning faster, because as we become better people, or bigger, you know, bigger people, better, we have the ability to change and do more, be better. Kaizen introduces a concept that is very small, but very powerful. All right. Now, before I go on, for my sci-fi fans, that's me. This is the how. And I like to say, if any of you watch Star Trek, this is the way, right? Or Taoism, way, Tao, right? Or fear is the mind killer. And this one's important because this is what this book addresses or deals with to help you do this. Because one thing about vision is this. Vision is scary. And this book addresses, because this book is by, as I said, or I haven't said yet, Robert Maurer. He's a psychologist, a clinical psychologist. And he looked at how fear stops us. So how fear can stop us from getting the things we want, and how that is sort of counterproductive, means it goes against us and stops us from getting what we want, which seems to make no sense, but in 5 minutes, it will make a lot of sense. So with Kaizen, this book was written in 2004, or published in 2004 by Robert Maurer. It starts out with the origin of Kaizen, and Kaizen sounds very Japanese, doesn't it? Here's the thing, though. It was actually made in the United States during World War II. The Americans were trying to get ready for war, and they knew they couldn't do a big change all at once. So they came up with the idea of making small little changes, small little improvements, continuous improvement. And as they continuously improved, they could over time change a system. Okay? Kaizen means continuous improvement, that's the Japanese word. But it was imported from America to Japan because at the end of World War II, their country was destroyed and the Americans were like, well, what are we going to do? So they said, look, everything's destroyed, but we can make small changes on a regular basis and improve. And as we know, the rest is history. One of the best cars you can buy is a Japanese car. At the end of World War II, this was not true. Okay? So what this book promotes is, if we can make small changes, we can change our life and change the world. And if you're wondering why it has to be small changes, not a big one, well, it has to do with a part of your brain. You have three parts of your brain, actually, and they were developed at different times over history. The part we're going to talk about is the amygdala, right, which is close to your reptile brain. This part of your brain was designed to keep you alive. And anything that can scare you just a little bit, that brain wakes up and says, okay, shut this show down. Stop it. We're not doing it. We want to stay alive. This was important because thousands of years ago, when we were walking across the desert and a tiger would come, the new part of our brain we call the prefrontal cortex that does all the thinking and talking in your ear, that would be saying, that's a tiger. Is it a big one? Don't know. Does it look hungry? And you would be dead. But the amygdala would just say, hey, prefrontal cortex, big brain, shh, we're taking over. And next thing you know, you're just running away. You don't even know why. That's the amygdala. It keeps you alive. Now, this is going to help with that paradox I said to you before. Why is it sometimes you want to do something big and part of you stops you? Well, that's the amygdala. And it thinks anything you do that is big, like changing yourself to become better, it's scary, just like the tiger. So the amygdala shuts down your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that can think and maybe solve how to get that problem, how to do it. And because that's shut down, you don't have access. So you just go, you know what? I can't do it. It's too big for me. Kaizen works to solve that problem by saying, hey, if we can make the change so small that the amygdala just stays asleep, it doesn't wake up at all, then we can sneak the change by and develop ourselves before the amygdala wakes up. And in doing that, there are six different steps that this book talks about that we can use. And if I may, I will address them for you. Okay? Number one is ask small questions. ask more questions.
What? Do I have to talk like this?
No, that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is ask a small question like, what is the smallest thing I could do to improve my life today? Ask a question. Not, what can I do to change? What's the one thing I could do to change? Another thing is small thoughts. When you're thinking a small thought, it's like, okay, so how can I do X? But think like, how can I make today better than yesterday? Not how can I change my life? How can I make $1 billion? How can I meet the man or woman of my dreams? But how can I make today better than yesterday? It's a small thought. You might go, I could go for ice cream. That's good. It's small. But it leads you to the step of making a change. Or a better question might be, what small change can I do today that will make me better than yesterday? Right? You might go, well, go to bed earlier. It's a small thought. Solves it. Next are small, solve small problems. If you have a problem, instead of saying, oh, I want to make $1 million, what company can I start? It might be as simple as, I'd like to make a little extra money. What book could I read? Or what video could I watch? Or should I turn on YouTube and see if they have any videos? That's how small it is. So go back and make a problem so small that it's almost impossible for you not to do it. Now, give yourself small rewards. Well, once you've had that small, you've asked a small question, right? You've had small thoughts. I missed one. Take small actions. If you want to work out, for example, don't say tomorrow I'm going to run for 2 kilometers. Tomorrow morning, take out your sneakers, your running shoes, put them at the front door. That's it. You go, but I didn't run. It's a small action because it's the first step to making a step. Yeah? And this is where we come to give small rewards. Once you've done that, tap yourself on the back, maybe have some water, you know, something appropriate, and say, I put my shoes out so I deserve something nice. So giving yourself a small reward is nothing big, because when you give yourself a big reward, you have to think, I have to do a lot of work to get it. And once again, that amygdala I talked about, that wakes up. We don't want to do that. And this book says, try not to wake the amygdala. But if you give yourself a small reward for doing a small action, it seems fair. And the brain goes, good. But you're rewarding yourself to make you do the action again. Yeah? All right. And the last thing is, identify small moments. Well, you're doing all this work and small little things. You shouldn't mark the moments that are important. A baby smile. A cat purring, a tulip. Mark these moments because you don't always have big moments where you're flying to places and going on vacation. But every single day, there's something beautiful in the world for you to note. And if you're doing that, it's going to put you in a more positive mood and you're more apt to change. Okay? So that is The Kaizen Way by Dr. Robert Moore. And I got a couple quotes, or at least one quote I want to read to you from here that I like a lot. And it's this. Big fancy prizes take away from intrinsic motivation. Most people want to be proud of their work and they want to offer useful contributions. I like that quote because it gives us a humbleness, a simpleness, saying that more importantly, we want to do something because it's the right thing, which makes us kind of good people, than to be rewarded with big things. Yeah? And that is the essence of Kaizen, the small things that matter. Yeah? Okay. Oh, fear is the mind killer. Why is that one there? The amygdala. When you are fearful, you shrink, you become small. You can't live into that vision by Mr. Bach. And when you shrink away, you don't get to see the best you can possibly be. Now that we have a method, right? Small choices, small questions, you know, small actions. We have a message and we have a why. So that's our why. This is our how. What are we going to do? And that would lead to my final book, or not mine, E's final book. And it's called The 12-Week Year, which is funny. It should have a hyphen, but it doesn't. But what the heck? They wrote the book. They probably know what they're talking about. All right. So the 12-week year is our what, right? And when you say what, it's like, what do you have to do? You know why you're doing it. You know how the method you should use, which is the small procedure. But what do we do? And this is called execution. With this book, and this is why we wrote down four times, you're going to learn four times, they break the year into four segments of 12 weeks. And I know you're smart because you're watching this video and you are smart people. 4 times 12 is 48. And they're like, yes. So within a year, you can have 4 years with a week off in between each year to recover, right? To reward yourself for the good work you've done. Now, the reason why they talked about it's important being 12 weeks and not over a year, because some of you were like, well, it's just a year divided. The problem with a year is this, according to the authors, a year is a long way away. In January, when you decide you're going to read, you know, a book every single month, that's easy in January. But you don't know what's going to happen in March or July or September. Maybe there's a tornado. Maybe you have to move. Maybe you have to change jobs. There's so many things that can happen from January to December 31st that they're like, hey, if you make it small, truncate, make it smaller to a 12-week period, you have more control over that. That's one thing. But the second thing the authors like to say is, when you make it smaller, there's more of a sense of urgency. All of us have been around on, you know, December 31st, and you write your New Year's resolution. Next year, I will be slimmer. I will have a new job. I will get this new haircut that I heard about. We all do this, right? But come March, you forget all about it. What these guys are saying is, when you truncate, make the time smaller, there's a sense of urgency. You know the date is coming up very soon for the new year to start. So this year will be ending. So you get the benefit of, with only 12 weeks, you can basically have a good idea of what's going to happen within that small time frame. But also you're kind of pushed to get it done now. Do it now, because you don't have a lot of time. Yeah. So with these two premises together, their 12-week year, they're saying you can do, because you do a year four times in a year, you can learn four times as much. Hence, ease four times. Because you can have a goal, right? Make that vision, right? You know how, make small incremental changes. And then he's saying we can do this four times in a year. So we can do it once, do it twice, do it three times, do it four times. So you get to see how great you can be by making small changes on a consistent basis and having resets four times a year. Yeah. Now their approach, I like it because it still goes with this, with the practice of fear, you know, the amygdala, because they understand, and in this book they talk about that, that fear sometimes stops people. So in line with this, they're saying make your goals smaller. Right. So because you're working four times a year, you don't have to have a really huge goal. So if you wanted to make $1 million in a year, they're saying, no, you don't have to. Maybe in the first year, 12 weeks, you can make $10,000. And then the next year, you can make $100,000. And you, oh, so I don't have to get $1 million in a year? They're like, no, no, make it smaller, manageable. That's the Kaizen. But we'll show you how to break it down. And this book is brilliant, my friends, because they tell you exactly how to have what they call the hedonistic break or pleasure break. So they build in the schedule during the week that you should have time off to enjoy yourself as well as work hard. They build in a time that you can actually organize, that you should take at the beginning of the week to know what the week will look like. They build in a scorecard saying, here's how we score it, how we mark it to know how much you need to do to get where you're going to go. In fact, they give a number. They say if you do 65% of the work, you will make significant changes. And if you do 85% of the work, you will make fantastic changes or achieve your dream. The brilliance of this book is because it breaks a year into four parts, and remember, the authors will say they are four different years, not 3 months at a time. And you should treat it like that, that it is an end, like a regular year. is that you can really study one thing really deeply, right? For example, you could do, if you were learning English, you could work on grammar for your first year, right? The first 12 weeks. Then the next one, you could work on listening skills, right? And then the next one, you could work on speaking skills and, you know, writing skills for the fourth one. But because you spend so much time and focus and go deeply on each second, when you add them together, it's going to lead you to something completely different, much bigger than if you study a little bit of each one at a time. So it incorporates the idea, as we were saying, from Kaizen, small steps, but small steps in a focused way will lead you to a path you could never imagine. The one thing I do want to say about it, this is a great quote, that's not from this book, but I love about the idea of execution. Okay, I just want to mention it before I read you a couple of quotes from here. A dream written down with a date becomes a goal. All right, I want to lose weight by January. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. How are you going to get there, right? What do you have to do? That's this one. A plan backed by action makes dreams come true. This is by Greg Reed. And this is what we've been going from here, because we took our vision, we took a method of which we wanted to use for that, and then now we've got a plan with action. This is going to lead to execution. Yeah? Now, I told you there's a quote, there's a couple of them. This book's loaded with quotes, to be honest with you. And they take great pride in doing that. So one of my favorite ones from this one is by Abraham Lincoln. The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time. So you can see how we're combining Kaizen, it's one day at a time. That's the future, not this big thing out there. Just, it comes to you one day, it sips, small sips. But we're also talking about planning, right? Because you can plan for this because it's one day at a time. That's why I love the order of the books and why I suggested you could read it the way you would like. The information's there for you. That's the whole point. You can read and learn from them. But this is why I'm suggesting it this way, okay? And my other quote that I love is, let him who would enjoy a good future waste none of his present. Okay? And I don't want to waste your time. But before I go, I have an admission to make. There is a difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. And I said, I like my sci-fi, which I do. And I know many of you turned green in the face when I said, this is the way, as a joke, when I said it was Star Trek, when it should have been Star Wars, The Mandalorian. Sorry, Grogu, I made a mistake. Anyway, as I said, not to waste your time, I wanted to introduce E wants you to introduce these three books to you, right? A way in which you can use them. So quickly, if you wanted to use this, if you were doing English learning, for instance, right? Have a vision. What do you want to do? Do you want to travel? Is it because you're starting a business? What is your vision for you using your English? And make it bigger than you, not just, I just want to, maybe you want to impress that certain girl, yes, and bring her over and watch a movie in English, whatever accent that is, right? What's your vision that's bigger than you right now? Because you're probably, I'm just a poor English student, right? Your practice, how can you find small ways to improve small problems? So use a small question, like, what can I do today? What word can I use that will help me? Small questions. Take a small action. Maybe I will go to a place where English people are and just listen, right? Then how do we use this? We structure it over a 12-week period. And we're going to say, okay, I'm going to pick one area like grammar, or students talk about vocabulary. I'm going to take vocabulary. I'm going to hammer it for 12 weeks. All I'm going to do is study vocabulary and master my vocabulary, knowing that later on, after I do vocabulary, I'll work with grammar in the next week. And this gives us a plan to move from one area to another so we can get closer to that vision every day. Anyway, listen, I hope you liked E's picks. I will have James's picks sometimes. And what I'd love for you to do is go check out Read More, Learn Faster, where I give you the ideas on how to read more, what's happening with your eyes, what happens when you read a lot, so that you can combine these two lessons to make your own super lesson. Anyway, listen, I hope you enjoyed the lesson. I'm looking forward to doing more of these. Looking to take out a course or create a course as well. So if you could, if you would, do me a favor. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in, just write the word course. You know, write that down in the comments, and that will motivate me to create a vision of a course that will make your life magnifique. Yes. Anyway, that's James from Ingvid. Okay. Hope you enjoyed the lesson. Now, look around here. And if, I don't know, if you're on YouTube, what I'd like you to do is subscribe if you could, please, or wherever you're seeing this, right? Go to www.ing, as in English, vid, as in video, .com. And I'll see you soon. Have a good one. Ciao.